Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show. I'm the producer, Luis Gomez, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell and Ray Chung, along with Bucky, the executive producer. You can find Them Nuts on all your social media networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or follow and listen to us on Podomatic.com.
Are we on? Nice, let's go. What's up, baby? Tell us who we got in the house, man.
Yo, what's up? This is Richard Osborne in the house. Richard Daryl Osborne.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah. So which one do you like to go on by? Is it Daryl?
Richard Daryl Osborne, Daryl, Richard, it's cool.
Is there another Richard Osborne?
Well, you know what? When I came to Hollywood, there was another Rich Osborne. So this agent was like, yo, you have to put a Daryl in there or something. So
was it the Osborne from the singer?
Huh?
Was it the singer?
No. Because he's got an E at the end of his last name.
Oh, okay.
See, I ain't got an E at the end.
Yeah.
Fighting to take that fucking E off of my last name. For years, man. Since I was a kid, they want to throw that E. Either I'm Ozzy Osborne, Jeffrey Osborne. And I'm like, yo, it's Osborne, O-S-B-O-R-N, no E. Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would know it. He made a tag to his last guest.
Oh, yeah.
Who had no E. See, I was catching that shit.
I wish I would have added a letter to my name. Instead of taking away a letter. Because it's a lot easier to say Noel.
Yeah,
Noel. N-O-E-L. What the hell is Noel? What the fuck is that?
That is true. That's it.
That's
it. I was thinking that, but I don't want to say
that. Like, they misspell my shit or my brother. Now, fuck the fucking L. Yeah. You just want N-O-E. I'm like, ah. But yeah.
They were filling out the birth certificate and went...
So now, how long have you been in here? How long have you been in this game for?
I've been doing comedy. I did my first gig probably like in 87, man.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, like 87.
No, I'm making it. We are like, damn, like Jesus just walked in the house.
I was born in 86.
I've been doing comedy longer than you've been alive.
Wow.
So. Yeah, oh, man, I've been in the game for a minute.
I thought you were joking, but then
you're like the fittest dude amongst us, man. You probably like, our ass combined, you know? Like, you probably like do cardio, run marathons and shit.
Matter of fact, before I got here, I did 15 miles on my bike. You know.
Oh, before you came in tonight?
Yeah,
he
man.
Says, as a matter of fact, I ran over here.
Shit, damn, I ran over here, man.
I was at a triathlon over here.
Shit, man.
I didn't even drive to my...
Got my ab roller, man. That fucking ab roller works, son.
I bet it does, dog. Because you look good. You look good.
Thank you.
For being the oldest one in the room.
Yeah. I'll show you how old I was. You wouldn't even believe me, man.
No.
I want to know.
Black don't crack.
Actually, I turned 47 in October.
Oh, man. Good job, man.
Holy
good job.
Shit.
So when you got down here, though, in 87, though, how was the game?
It was a whole different game, man. It was like, I got in, like I was telling you before we started, I got into it by mistake. It was like, it was crazy because I never wanted to be a comedian. I've always done voices since I was a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
And it was funny because there was this contest. They had a radio contest. It was like, if you do any impressions, call in. You know, you can win some prizes. So I'm like, shit, you know, I'm call in, get some free shit. You know, and at that time,
looking
I could
for a come up,
do five voices or whatever, right? So I called in, I did my little five voices, and I won. I ended up coming down to the station. I worked on that station, and then I worked in radio for like 2 years until a program director was like, "Yo, you should do stand up." I'm like, "Man, I can't do no fucking stand up because all I do is voices," you know?
Yeah.
So they were like, "No, you can do it." So I ended up doing voices and did stand up, got hooked. And then the first person I opened up for actually was Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow.
That was the first cat. It was him and then Sinbad and then Richard Bell. He's an old school comedian. But yeah, Seinfeld, I opened up for him. And Seinfeld says to me, because my comedy was raw then. It was like crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
And Jerry was like, well, you may want to stop doing so much swearing because you want your material to be everyone to enjoy it. Everyone's got to enjoy your material. So, you know, yeah, back then I was just like,
man. Did you bust out the Richard Pryor?
Fuck
you, it's funny.
Ass up. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. You know, I started to, but you know what? He gave me some good advice, though, man. He really gave me some good advice to really. And Cosby, actually, I did a show with Bill Cosby. Actually, I knew it was a show with him, but I went to a show, and then afterwards we talked. And he basically told me, he's like, let me tell you, man, when you do comedy, you can't isolate
one person. You got to have comedy for the children, for grandma, for grandpa, for the Gia, the Gio. I'm like, you know what, Bill? Just wrap this shit up, please. I'm like, I got to go to the fucking bathroom. You know what I'm saying? But he gave me some good advice, man, you know, and it stuck with me to have comedy for everyone, you know, instead of just, you know, I respect comics who are, you know, who are blue, but it's like have comedy for, you know, for adults, but then have comedy where you can switch it up and just be funny for everybody.
For the children.
Yeah, so I got hooked into that. So anyway, and then someone saw me, they were auditioning for In Living Color. And they were like, yo, we want you to fly out to L.A. to audition for A Living Color.
So
like,
where were you before? I'm sorry.
I was still back in Connecticut.
Oh, okay. At this whole time. Wow.
Yeah, I was in Connecticut. So they flew me out here to audition for In Living Color. And I ended up not getting that. Tommy Davidson got it over on me.
Really?
Because he had television experience.
Yeah, I thought of Dwayne Wayne or Damon Wayne got it because y'all look like.
I ended up, I wrote a few skits that ended up being on In Living Color, actually.
Oh, nice.
And that's, so I did a couple that I sent in, and they actually got on. And I never got on the show, but I ended up doing, you know, working on The Simpsons. So I did some voices on The Simpsons.
Nice.
Up there, so that was cool. And I just ended up staying out in L.A., man. So, yeah, man. So that's how I got into this game. So it's funny, Noe was talking a little bit about, like, rappers and shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man, because I don't do a lot of rappers in my act, but I was just thinking, I was like, man, you know, like DMX just got out of jail recently, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, man, you know, he needs some money real bad. So what do singers or rappers, I could see him doing like the national anthem, you know? Like, you know, oh, say, can you see? Get him, dog, get him. Get him, dog, get him. Body dogs, early night. Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. I don't know why it just popped into
DMX
my head.
DMX has a video of him singing a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah,
DMX shit. Christmas?
No shit. And he's
with his Rudolph.
Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, my God.
And he's banging on the table and using
serious?
His chain and shit. And it's one of the fucking most amazing things.
Oh, my God.
And that was perfectly spot on.
Oh, my God.
It's exactly like
that. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. That'd be fucking crazy, man. So, yeah, man. So I ended up just sticking around, and it's been good, man. It's been great.
Did you ever, like, give prank phone calls?
Man. You know what's funny? When I was younger, I would do crank calls because I didn't know, you know, it's like a superhero and shit. You use your powers
right. Yeah.
And radio stations, I did two things that was really kind of fucked up. One time I pretended to be Rodney Dangerfield to get on stage. I called up this. I was back in Connecticut, and I called in this. This comedy club that was in New York, and I pretended to be Rodney. I was like, "Hey, how you doing? You know, I got this kid. I tell you, this kid is good. He's funny. His name is Richard Osborne. Yeah, get him on stage. I want him on the night. He's funny. He's funny.
That's
this kid is good,
pro dude."
And I got on stage because I pretended to be Rodney Dangerfield. You know,
they fell for a hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. Dang. And then the second thing I did was I was on this radio station, and Eddie Murphy at that time was filming Coming to America. He was filming it in New York.
Right.
And they were like, we're going to have you pretend to be Eddie Murphy. But the audience will probably figure out in 10 side of 2 seconds that you're not Eddie Murphy. So I'm on there, and I'm taking calls from callers and everything. And I'm talking to him like people who are calling in like I'm Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, 200 people show up outside. A camera crew. This is how small fucking New Haven is.
Whoa.
A camera crew rolls out. Because they think Eddie Murphy is really in the studio. Now I took this two ways. I was like, "Yo, this is like a compliment to my
ability,
pressure."
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I was like, "Yo, I can really do this," you know. So Eddie is more like, and how I learned how to do Eddie is like I was at a party and this girl was like, "Yeah, Richard knows how to do him. He does good impressions, but I bet you he can't do Eddie Murphy."
And then, you know, like the needle stops on the fucking record. Everybody turns and looks at me. And I just saw Trading Places the other night. And I was just like, you know, this house is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. You know, this is lovely. You know, everything is lovely. Curtains are all mine. You know, this happens to me all the time. You know, this is beautiful. And that's when I knew. I was like, yo, comedy, you know, stand up impressions. This is what I can do.
Yeah.
So then after that, doing voices got easier and easier for me.
Okay, you and Noe both can.
I got one question. Okay. This is a kind of serious question. I get this a lot, man. But
what happens when you get balls to the face?
That's a tag for the earlier show. That's tag for the earlier show.
Oh, that
comment. No, you know what? I don't know if it's because of the haters or something.
I really like balls to the face.
You've been in a lot longer. I get like, oh, you shouldn't be doing impressions anymore, or like it's already been done, this and that, and the voices, and like, but it works for me.
Yeah,
the way it works for me.
It's funny. It's funny to me.
Do you?
Right. Did you get that?
But I'm gonna tell you. I'll tell you something about that, because I had comics that would come up to me and not consider me a true comedian because I do voices.
Yeah.
And for a while, I was like you. I was like, fuck that. I want to be a legitimate comedian. I'm not doing any fucking impressions. I'm just going to do straight jokes, you know?
That actually did cross my mind.
Yeah.
A few months ago, I'm like, you know what?
But you got to think about it. The top comedians that are out right now, you know, take out, like, you know, the
Darius Campbells.
Darius Campbell, yeah. You know, the Dave Chappelle's, all that. You know, you got, like, Eddie Murphy. What's that guy from In Living Color, white boy? What's his name?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. All of these guys got their start by doing voices, by doing impressions. And if it's funny, fuck it. Make the people laugh. It doesn't matter if you do impressions. Yeah. And comics who say that are usually upset because you grab the audience if you're a good impression.
Yeah, you know what? You know what that is? It's just jealousy. Because if we could all do it, we would do it.
Yeah, they would. Right? They would.
Like,
they
if I could do impressions, I fucking would.
Oh, I can do it.
I guarantee you, one of those guys still... Right. They do voices. Yeah. Even Eddie Murphy and all
I when I came out here, I started out with comics who are kind of like big now. One of my best friends at that time was Jamie Foxx.
Oh, I love
and
Jamie.
We all did voices, so he would call me. It's like, okay, are you going to do this voice today? What are you going to do? I'm going to do this one, blah, blah, blah. And we had even talked about, like, you know, maybe we should just do straight stand-up. And then Jamie was like, no, fuck that. The ladies like impressions. Yes. I like doing the impressions. Yep. I'm going to fucking do it.
Ladies love it.
You know what I mean? So... that's my thing, man. Keep doing it if it makes people laugh. But I will say this. Come up with characters. That's always the big one. I auditioned for The Simpsons. The big thing for them was like, yo, can you do any characters? And I couldn't create any characters at that time. I could just do impressions of people, but I couldn't do any characters.
So
they were like, do an impression of a used car salesman. Like, now I could. But then I was just like, yo, I can do an impression of Bill Cosby as a fucking car salesman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
But yo,
that's,
man,
one of the things, and that's why I keep doing it, and that's why I continue to practice new voices and all that, because they love that, man.
You know what the other thing is? Like, comedians who like play the guitar can sing.
Yeah.
We hate on them too because fucking jealous. Because ladies like that shit.
Actually,
if you can, that's why everyone hates fucking on Jamie Foxx. The motherfucker's good looking. He can fucking act.
Right.
He's funny as shit. And he can sing.
And he can sing.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Jamie Foxx.
Right.
You got a fucking Oscar too.
And I even said that to him because you used to say, yo, Rich, you going to make it, man.
Richard, you sing too, though, don't you?
Nah, not really.
Oh,
not
okay.
No, one of the things that me and Jamie would talk about, I would tell him, I was like, Jamie, you going to fucking hit it hard. Because you do impressions, you do jokes, and you sing.
Yeah.
Nah, Rich, you're going to make it because, you know, you're good looking, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm going to tell you, being handsome or what women consider handsome has nothing to do with being able to fucking sing.
Yeah, that takes you to a...
If you fucking sing, you're at a whole different... Yeah. There's a lot of ugly motherfuckers that can sing that's getting crazy pussy.
Still, we're not talking about you, Still.
The moment they open their mouth, I'm trying to...
Tyler.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to...
Ozzy Osbourne.
Sing into my stand-up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm...
That's the easiest way to get that trail.
That is. So, you know, doing, but then having that type of comedy, like you talked about, you know, doing older, like you were at an older place. There were older people.
Yeah,
I was at Seizure World. You know where Seizure World is. I was at Seizure World and they were like, yo, can you do some time at Seizure World? I'm like, it was like $200 for like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah,
that was the hardest fucking 20. I would have rather sucked dick.
Ow! Damn!
Balls to the face.
Fucking get out there.
Oh, damn.
Cats were like, meow. I thought there was one chick I thought was just literally dead. all right? Like, this chick did not move, didn't look up. I'm like, yo. Yeah, it was crazy, right?
So I'm like, oh, this is just so whack.
So I'm pulling out all my, I'm pulling out all the stops. Yeah. I'm pulling out Johnny fucking Carson. I'm pulling out like who was, I'm doing like old school impressions of like voices I haven't done since I was a kid. Ronald, when I did Ronald Reagan, they woke the fuck right up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. When I did Ronald Reagan, they woke. I did George Burns, they livened up, and it was weird because here I am doing George Burns. I'm a bit 6'6" black guy doing impression of a 5'5" white 89-year-old white boy, and it just freaked them out. But you got to have that material to like be able to adapt to.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm trying to hit those voices now. So when I get to a younger crowd, I always start off my bits with like, if there's a DJ,
right?
I always make fun of the DJs and I do the sound effects, the air horn, that you know, and
right.
And then I'll start. If I always tell, the DJ, hey, hit me with a. Juicy from Biggie Smalls.
Right,
Biggie is
right,
an easy voice
right,
to hit too.
Right, right.
So I'll do that, and then I just want to continue hitting the voices.
Yeah.
Now Noe just gave a secret away to all the people. This is what I do when I get out there. And,
he's just
No.
He's on stage like super big tattoos. Now that I'm trying to stay away from like the voices, like because the comics telling me, hey, you should be doing that anymore.
Nah, don't listen to them, man.
That pushed me a little bit to like write some other shit.
But here's the thing, though, I can't go on stage and just do an impression of Obama. I got to put something together.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, you got to put something together. So you got to have a setup for it. So yeah, I can do a voice really good, but I just can't go up on stage and just do the voice.
They'll laugh slightly at the voice, but okay, then what?
Right. Once you sell a voice, then you have to be fucking funny.
Yeah.
Which to me, that's harder than when you just do straight stand-up.
Yep, yep.
Because you do straight stand-up, you're just doing, just telling jokes.
And as a storyteller comic, if you change your voice to reflect a wife, a girlfriend, anybody else in life, you're doing an impression.
You're doing an impression.
It's just not of a famous person.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
So my wife is famous.
Yeah, yeah. So,
sorry. Right, so, I'm glad you said that.
But yeah, so I mean, so my thing is to just keep writing. Sometimes when I write shit, it's like it will just fall right in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it takes me a long time to really put something together for a fucking bit.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about some of the voices you do. Like I do this thing where I do like, you know, what if I like to do the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you heard me do this bit. I know, Darius, if you heard me do this bit. Like if I had a chance to do the Ten Commandments, I put different celebrities in as like different celebrity Ten Commandments. Like if I had the three wise men, I've had Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, and Eddie Murphy as the three wise men. I'd have Steve Harvey come out. I can't believe that there's baby Jesus. Why does baby Jesus have such a big head? Ain't that right, Bernie? I'm going to change baby Jesus. Stop it. You can change it. I'm going to change it. Ain't that right, Eddie? Like, I don't know if that's baby Jesus or not. I'm just trying to get back to Santa Monica Boulevard.
Fuck,
so you know, and putting that together,
that's just stuff.
No, I'll do Ice Cube.
Yeah, nobody does Ice Cube. Well, I can't nobody do Ice Cube. Goddamn it!
Did a move with Chris Tucker, Mike Epps.
So what do you got coming up though?
So yeah, I got actually I'm gonna be at the Improv. You know, Noe was talking about being at the. I'm gonna be at the Improv May 10th. I'm headlining Clean Comedy May 10th, 2 p.m.
Irvine Improv?
In Irvine Improv. No, not the Irvine. It's going to be in Ontario.
Right. I know what show you're talking about. Like Squeaky Clean Comedy.
Yeah, Squeaky Clean Comedy. I'm going to tell you, these shows, man, 500 people.
Dude, I was there a few months ago. I just walked. I know Mel.
You know Mel Austin. Yeah, Mel Austin puts those shows
on. I walked in and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, packed house.
Tattoo. Fucking nothing to do but fuck cows and go to comedy in Ontario. That's it. People have sex with cows and go. That's cow country.
Cows don't graze until 5.
So. And they don't graze until 5. Exactly. And then you can go check me out on richosborn.com, richosborn.com. I have B-Rock, the Barack Obama cartoon that's being shopped around. It's on Russell Simmons' network on YouTube. But if you Google me and go to YouTube, I can link you to that. You can get my CDs on iTunes.
This boy's been busy, huh? Yeah, been busy.
Hey, Rich, let me ask you. Go ahead. So, like, when you met Jamie Foxx, could you tell from the beginning that he was going to, like, make it?
Definitely.
He had that ambition and that drive?
Because he had that threat. Because he could sing. Because he, you know, told jokes. And right. his impressions were... Now, his impressions, he used to always say, is like, you do better impressions than me, Richard. But it doesn't matter because he sang.
Yeah.
And it's just like, to me, singing just means everything.
Yeah.
So singing trumpet. If he got on The Living Color, you know, he would do characters more than do impressions. And then from that, he had an album. His album came out, yeah, then he hit. So he's like triple threat. And this guy's got a fucking, an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe he's got a Grammy. I'm not sure.
Probably with some hit records or something. I know that. Yeah.
He's definitely a comic I really look up
so
to.
So people, he's... And people ask me, it's like, are you jealous? Do you get mad at, you know, that he's made it? And I'm like, I'm so fucking happy for him, you know, because it's like...
That's a good attitude. That's
good.
Yeah,
because my thing is, that was his time. And it's like, if that had happened for me at that time, I don't know where I would be. I don't even know if I'd be here.
And if you're
friends, them nuts, you say, whoa. What? You say you wouldn't come to them nuts if you were that big?
What's up, dog? No, probably not. Let's be real. I don't even know. I don't even know where the fuck I am, man. I'm somewhere in Cyprus. Yeah. Who the fuck goes to Cyprus?
Famous stars, motherfucker.
You go through Cyprus. Yeah. You go through Cyprus, man. You know.
This is the land of future stars.
See, if you sat down and actually listened to Bill Cosby, he would have told you that at the end. But you had to go out. He would have been like, last thing to do, don't ever go to Cyprus.
Don't ever go to Cyprus.
You didn't listen to Bill Cosby, though, dude.
So that's what I got going on, man. So I'm excited, man. I got a lot of things happening right now.
Wait,
man.
So did you ever like try to sing, like work like at a singing coach or anything like that?
Never. Nah.
It just wasn't me.
Like I'll do impressions of people that sing, but other than that, it's never been my thing. Right. And that's the thing about Jamie is that he could do impressions of people sing. Like you do Luther, he could do all these cats, and that just made him just so much more marketable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Tucker was the same thing. I was good friends with Tuck. And Tucker, I tell you about Chris, is that he was so shy. And people always say comics, they go into that other, you know, gear when they get on stage. But he almost never talked. I mean, we would have some conversations.
Oh, wow. I did not know that at all.
Very quiet.
He's like a loudmouth.
Yeah, but when he, I was on Soul Train, and I performed on Soul Train. I was like the first amateur comic on Soul Train before Don Cornelius died.
Oh, wow.
And he introduced me. Just having Don Cornelius say my name, having come on stage was... And then I did that show, and then Chris Tuck saw me. Tuck saw me. And he was like, man, I saw you on Soul Train, man. You were funny, man. You're really funny, man. Not funny to me, man, but you're funny, man.
Wait, so is that his real voice?
It's a little lower. Just a tad. I'm just adding it all.
That is what he sounds like, man. Though.
Yeah, exactly.
Does
yeah.
he still have like the energy too, like when he talks?
Not really. Just very low key.
Oh, wow.
Just very low key. You would never even think he's a comic if you talk to him. It's because he's very shy. And it's funny because I know a lot of comics that are just very shy when it's not, the mic isn't on and they're not in front of a crowd, but they thrive on a crowd. They thrive on everybody laughing. They thrive on everybody just giving them love. And they just love. And then when the crowd is down, the lights are off, they just shut it down. And he's that type of dude. Right. Jamie's not like that. Jamie's just very, you know, demonstrative. He's all over the place. Yeah.
He's not like, so my thing is, let's get back to your cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Besides the voices and all that other stuff, do you who draws it up and all that stuff for you?
Well, I work with this company that produces the Pink Panther cartoons.
Really?
And the writer that I work with, his name is God, he's gonna be mad at me if I've got his name, man. Wayne Stamps, and he actually writes for the Real House Husbands of Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
So he writes for them. He used to write for Moesha. And when he put this cartoon together, he was just like, yo, I really want to, interested in probably using you, but let me just see your show, blah, blah. So he came and saw my show, Show Me Do Obama, and then got me into the studio and over there in the Valley in Encino, and they put together, it's 12 3-minute episodes of Barack Obama. What he does is he fights crime. You know, he turns it like he smokes a cool cigarette, and he turns into this fucking superhero called B-Rock. And Cal from Kenan and Cal actually does B-Rock's voice.
Oh, okay.
So I do Obama, I do Clinton, I do a whole bunch of voices on that. And it's a great cartoon, man. And you guys, it's well produced. Like, if you saw it, it could very easily be in a theater.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and I won an award for it, though, too. I won Best Animated Performance by a Solo Black Motherfucker. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I was in it for a minute.
By
I
a
was
guy, like, you know, with a guy with a dick more than they. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
That's hilarious.
So, I won this award for it, man. It was very flattering, you know, to win because I never thought I would be working in animation. I never thought. So it was kind of awesome for me to actually go to a theater, you know, and actually see it in the theater, man. So that was kind of cool, man. So, but yeah, so you can get to it, like I said, on YouTube. So what happened is they were running it on Russell Simmons Network. It ran, it was averaging 20,000, 25,000 views each week.
Wow.
So now they're shopping it to Cartoon Network, to, what's that called? At night where they show all the cartoon.
Yeah,
Adult Swim.
Yeah, Adult Swim. So they're kind of marketing towards like, well, they're kind of apprehensive a little bit because, well, Obama gets out of office in 2 years, what are we going to do? You know, I mean,
he's got to write some more stuff because you have a whole other story to talk about.
Right, whole other story. So that's what he's doing.
Clinton's still working. Clinton is still working.
Have him join the ex-president's group. Oh.
If Hillary can get into the White House, man, I'm telling you, the poontang I'm going to be able to get. And I won't even be president, man. I'll be able to hang out and just get blowjobs.
Won't be able to veto that ass, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
If Hillary isn't going to give me one, I got to get it from somewhere.
There you go, Southern boy.
But, yeah, man, so I get a chance to
I don't think Hillary's giving him anything for a long time.
No.
He had, like, one daughter, and that's it. It's it.
Hillary's got a pool boy for that.
Yeah. That pool girl. She looked like
I got that going on. So, like I said, it's a funny cartoon. It's very topical. I love doing Obama. And like I said, it's like, that's not even my favorite voice to do, but I love doing it because it's like, he's the first.
Did you even vote for Obama?
I did, only because when am I going to be able to do an impression of the president again and actually kind of look like him? So.
So it's for career success. That was a good thing.
He's in it for personal growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you wrote it off. You wrote that off.
Who's your favorite impression?
My favorite voice to do actually is two people. I love Reagan only because that was the first voice that I was able to do as a kid that like awed my mom. Like my mom was just like, oh my God, that's the bomb. And then my favorite voice to do since I've been in L.A. is Vin Scully, the voice of the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
So a little bit, when I first came to L.A., I was just amazed. And that was the hardest voice to do. And I was like, it took me literally 2 years to do him.
Really?
That's the only
voice. So, okay, what is like, you find a voice that you like, you're like, oh, man, somebody's hitting. Then you just start listening and mimicking
him? Well, I used to record myself. So I would record myself over and over again back. See, I know you guys are young, but I used to have those little tapes. You put it in. Put your two fingers and press play and record at the fucking same time.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, you know. And I would record testing 1, 2, 1, 2. And I would record myself and play myself back over and over again. But that's when I was younger. Now that I'm older, I can hear it in my head whether I sound like him or not. So, and then I ask my friends, is this good? Is this good? But Vince Scully was hard because nobody else was doing him. So sometimes I'll learn to do a voice by listening to other people try to impersonate them.
Okay.
And then I'll do it. And I've stolen it.
They pick up the highlights and they did all the work for you. Right.
Like, I tell you, two voices I learned to do from that. When I learned to do Ray Romano from listening to someone else try to do him.
Ray Romano talks like this. You know, I tell you, my wife doesn't want to have sex with me anymore. I don't understand. She doesn't want to do it. I want to fuck it. She says she wants to make love to the break of dawn. And I'm like, can we make love to like 2 a.m. and call it a night? I mean, that's good enough for me.
So listening to someone else do it, I learned. But I didn't learn to do Vin by listening. I just had to learn on my own. So Vin is more like, you know, this is Ben Skelly, voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, reminding Dodger fans, even if you don't know Vin Scully, you know a guy. Yeah, you know a guy in your town who does baseball games. It sounds like that guy. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I came up with him. It took me 2 years to actually do his voice. Some voices are very easy for me to come up with. I'll just hear him and I'll just be like, okay, let me work on that. I'll get it. Then there's some voices like I'm working on, what's the guy from, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank now. From the black, older black guy who's does voiceovers for everyone. He's in
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah,
Morgan Freeman is more like. When I met Andy Dufresne, he looked like a fish out of water. Yeah. But see, and that's all I can say. You know what I mean?
I'm a limited.
So I have, so I have to kind of like.
So what,
work
what's
on
the
it.
Process like? At first, it's just imitation. You're just reading, you're copying their lines.
Right.
And then you don't really feel like you mastered it, so you're able to say whatever you want to
say
in
exactly.
their voice, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So like, how long is it? So, like, can you break down the process of learning it a little bit?
Yeah, the process is really, I just kind of like listen. I'll try to do him a little bit. I'll have like a phrase that I'll come up with. Like, you know, I'll write a phrase that that person says.
You want some milk and cookies?
I'll write a phrase. And then from that, once I master that phrase, I'll just walk around the house just talking, you know, that phrase. I'll just keep saying it over and over and over again. Then once I get the phrase, then I'll start like talking like real talk. Like I'll talk around the house. I'll be in the car. The car is the best place for me to learn to do a voice because I'm kind of in a studio. It's enclosed. So that's the best place for me to really work on doing an impression. But it's tricky, man. It's hard because I'm very hard on myself. Like Jay Farrell on Saturday Night Live, he's great. I love listening to him. He does a great Denzel. He does impressions that I'm like, damn, he's fucking good. Mm-hmm. But I do voices that he can't do.
Yeah.
So my thing is to try to come up with voices that nobody else does, that nobody else out there is doing right now. So Vince Scully, nobody else is doing. Ving Rhames, I do Ving Rhames now in my act. Nobody's doing him.
So how many voices do you think you have? Like, if you gotta get
probably last time I counted, I think it was like 115.
Holy shit.
I got voices in my head.
115 that's different voices.
Hey, dude, you might want to get checked up for that shit.
Reagan was the first one.
Reagan and George Burns were the first ones that I learned to do.
Who's like the hardest? That took you like the longest time.
You just say Vince Scully?
Yeah, Vince Scully was the longest. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry.
I know we did the beers. The beers here. But yeah, that was the longest. The second longest probably was, the second longest I would say probably would be Reagan would be the second longest. But once I got them
down.
Yeah,
but that was your first one, so you were probably like master
yeah,
trying to learn.
Yeah, I was master trying to learn.
Reagan?
Huh?
Well, before I start speaking, I'd like to say something. Well, I forgot what I was going to say. But I'll remember tomorrow.
And Rich Little was the first cat. When I listened to him, I was like mesmerized as a kid. I was like, yo, how the fuck does he do these voices, right? And I was obsessed with learning how to do the voices that Rich Little could do. Funny story. So I ended up being really good, had some CDs. And then I actually got a chance to meet Rich Little.
Wow.
So I contacted his agent. They were like, oh, yeah, we're going to have you go to Vegas. So I get down to Vegas. I go backstage to meet him. He turns around and sees me. Now, he's another short little white boy. And he saw me. I've never seen a white boy so scared. And he's my idol, man. I'm like, this is my idol. And he wanted to run so fast, but it was nowhere for him to go.
You stand at the wall, motherfucker.
Yeah. So I put my arm around to take a picture. He looked so he looked like he was a rape victim in a Lifetime. Like in a Lifetime movie, man. Like, you know, he probably curled up in the fucking shower in the fetal position at the end of the night. You know, was like, God damn, I can't believe it. I can't believe I let him touch it.
Oh,
it was
shit.
Crazy, but I took a picture with him and I did a couple of voices for him and it was cool. But I had these visions of grandeur, like he was going to take me under his fucking wing. You know what I mean? And we were going to do shows together in Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? That shit just never happened. Like, yo. Security! I got moved out.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, being able to see him was great for me. And then there's Danny Gans. He used to be in Vegas. He passed away probably about 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing him, yeah.
Yeah, Danny Gans was just like, I went to see his show, and I was just like, man, this guy's fucking incredible. You know, so I get influenced by a lot of guys, and I'm not, like, I don't hate. Like, I love other impressionists. I love watching other people do voices because if there's something I can learn from them, I'm not too old to learn, man. I love to learn, you know, new voices and
see other people. Are, like, facial expressions, like, a big part of
Sometimes on stage, because you got to sell the impression on stage. Yeah. But if I'm doing voiceover, it's not as important. I have to have really good like voice modulation. I got to project. Like when I did Obama for this cartoon, you know, when you're in the studio, you really got to use your hands. You got to like really do the inflections. You got to sell the fucking voice because nobody can see you, you know, on, you know, obviously when you're recording. And then they try to match that when the animators love it when you are when your voice is really tells a story, because then they can really draw to that.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing about doing voiceover.
So, oh, so they do the drawing after.
Yeah.
After
so do the recording first and then the voice. And
I always wondered how that worked. I thought they might have been, be honest with you, I thought it was complete opposite. No, and you guys have to see it go through. Always,
and then you never work with the other actors. So
you always
record your stuff separate.
So is that just for clarity or?
No, it's just so that they can concentrate, the director can concentrate on just kind of getting you like in character, and then, you know, we try that again like this, try it again this, blah, 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 blah. So it's, it's
so do you have a voiceover agent?
I used to, but I don't now. So I do things on my own now.
Okay.
But I think I'm probably going to need one because I really want to start doing feature film animation.
Yeah.
So in order for me to do that, you know, you got to have a you know, really good agent.
Yeah, because I want to get into voiceover, but I want to only manage.
Yeah.
I got a guy that does really good voiceover.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that one right there. Yeah. He wants to do voiceovers. The one looking dumbfounded. One look like you see shit. The one that looked like you saw a deer in the headlight.
And
He just want to do hip hop videos and porn, but that's
hip hop money is, man. Yeah, really
voiceover and porn.
Look at the way.
There is fucking sound effects on porn. You don't even know that.
See,
yes,
voiceover.
There is. You know,
they get like some shit like on, and then they put it like on like shit to make it sound more like squishy.
Yeah.
We need that cum sound.
I'm sorry.
We need that cum sound. We need you to go out.
It's a voiceover. I can voiceover Paul,
baby.
Nah, you look at the face of Ray. It's like that just put the fucking curtain and like exposed us to him, and she's like, no.
Yo, but I'm gonna tell you, I know you something about porn, though, man. It's like everybody has it on their fucking phone or computer. Like, I have so much fucking porn on my computer that if I have to bring it to, like, the fucking Best Buy and shit to get that shit fixed,
you're gonna
they'll be like, yo, we need to keep this overnight. Now fucking destroy that shit. Like, no, we've seen it all. No, you haven't. Destroy my fucking computer.
He's in there.
I'll buy a new one. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the guy always says that. He's like, we've seen it all.
Just because he wants to add to his stack.
Exactly.
I used to do that.
Yeah, you know that. And they say, well, they never really look at it. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I go through that shit with a fine tooth comb.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, man. Please,
I do my computer where my butt to my butt.
Your butt?
No, one of my buddies, he's like a computer guy, and he's like, I didn't even think about any of that shit.
Uh-huh.
He's like, do you want these pinches on it? I'm like, no, erase everything. He's like, no, there's it's like, you and Big Bear? And I was like,
oh,
shit. Yeah,
just racing. I used to work at T-Mobile, man, and we used to have to transfer data from one phone to the next, you know? So we go in the back and just look through people's fucking phones.
Really?
And the shit that's on there, you'd be like, yo, we need to get on the phone and call 911. There's somebody being abducted right now. You know what I mean? We need to, somebody's crying for help, you know? But
I just now got it at that age, so I don't even know, man. I had a BlackBerry for a while, and I didn't even know you can watch porn on the phone
for a minute. Man, there's so much. Porn is just fucking everywhere, man. It's just crazy where you can get porn at. You can just get it fucking anywhere.
That's just a shame.
Yeah, you can just like, on my, I have a Galaxy Note. At first, I wasn't sure. I was like, damn, can I get porn on here?
I have an extra memory card just for that.
See, he knows what I'm talking about.
Wait, why do you have to save it?
Huh? I like to download, man.
Just download it, man. He's right. He's
what
right.
Are you
down- hey, you. I'm sorry, but you fucking never know when you're gonna be in an area with no signal, and you gotta watch some fucking porn.
You got to.
I gotta go back old school, dude. Imagination. Imagination.
I've watched so much porn, my imagination doesn't work.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, he knows what I'm talking about, man. You can't. I'm at it's the desensitization. Age where, yeah, I don't. I can't even create shit anymore. You know what I mean? You see, I have to actually. I need that fucking visual.
You go to Starbucks. You see the hot girl behind the counter. Yeah. You can't start that.
But
scenario.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you what's really fucking crazy is you. Like when I was growing up, I used to get like a newspaper and see pantyhose fucking and fucking jerk off to that.
Jet magazine. Remember the Jet magazine?
That Cinephile week.
Yeah, beating
it off to it, right?
Okay. Cinemax nights on Fridays. That was when I was 12.
Soft porn. That's like weak. There's no penetration.
Yeah, the cable,
the Happy Hotel like or some shit is what it was called.
But see, here's the crazy shit. They got like elephant. What's the elephant porn? There's an elephant porn site or whatever. Like it's no.
It's just the name. It's not people fucking up. I'm with you, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. He knows what I'm saying.
I got you.
What's crazy is that. You can put anything in there, and there's some porn related to that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, two chipmunks fucking a fucking nun. I type that in, and there's two chipmunks fucking a nun.
Yep.
Doggy style. And you're like...
taking turns.
Oh, shit. I didn't... So I'm
type in Pope Francis, see what comes up.
But what's it called? A porn MD. What's supposed to be like, you know, like IMDb for actors? Uh-huh.
Well,
porn MD is supposed to be like the IMDb.
What? Uh oh, new site. Get my phone out right now. New site.
We had the most classiest gentleman in the podcast studio, and then we just all of a sudden switch from Jamie Foxx told me this advice and so was Bill Cosby, but check out this motherfucking porn site.
Any conversation, you got to bring that shit back to porn, man. There's no reason why you can't.
It ties into your daily life.
Thank you.
For guys, it does.
But you know, it's like Charles Barkley. I do Charles Barkley in my act. Charles Barkley turns everything back to fucking food. Like he's doing like the fucking like
the NCAA
like
right now.
NCAA and he's like, you know, and Kentucky looks really good, Charles, don't they?
I'm gonna tell you, Kentucky looks real good. Kentucky looked good last night when I'm on my way home back to the hotel. I saw Kentucky a two-piece snack with a biscuit. Now that was I was a Kentucky athlete.
No, Charles, we were talking about Kentucky University.
Oh, that Kentucky. I still was hungry. I'm still hungry.
And it's cool, man. You know, but yeah, it's like, you know, you could never, sometimes you can turn anything back to like porn or food.
Yeah.
Anything just comes back to that shit.
Two natural things.
Wait, so do you ever use your voices when you go on dates with chicks or whatever? Do you like try to like,
yes. You know what? Have you gotten laid by your impressions?
You know what? I've gotten laid. Just being the stand-up comedian, you get laid.
Right.
But one time I had a chick. I was younger though, man. I was like young, and this chick was
talk
just
to me like, Eddie.
Yeah, that's exactly what she wanted. She wanted me to talk like
Eddie.
Hold on.
This reminds me of that. Yeah. What was that movie Jamie was in?
Which one?
Remember Booty Call?
Yeah, Booty Call.
When he's sitting under the couch. Yeah. That's what the fuck. So you actually experienced the shit.
A girl tell me, she was just like, we were together, and I was like, young, man, you taking me back. She was like, yeah, you're so
take you back last week.
I love Eddie Murphy. Can you just do an Eddie Murphy while you make love to me? And I'm like, nah, you know, that's kind of creepy though.
You're like, hey.
But then she took her bra off and had some triple D's.
Yeah, you're like,
you know, these titties are very beautiful. You know, I love these big titties. You know, I love the titty fuck you right now. You know that? I just love it. Ooh, this is good. It's real good.
Wait, you when know? You're in character, you can do things you that can normally. Yep.
You normally. Yep. Did you check it for a penis?
Let me ask that. So, like, the back of your brain when you're doing this and you're fucking this chick, are you like, I'm doing a good job? Like, with my impression? Or you're like, I'm doing a good job? Like, where's your.
Oh.
Are you. I'm saying, are you more of a fucker?
Where's your focus?
Impressionist.
That's a good. I don't think that's the best question I've ever heard. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been asked that question. That's the first time.
Because I think a part of you like, that's a good impression. That's good. I'm good.
I think I actually fuck better than I do impressions. And I'm real fucking good at doing impressions. So, and I like porn. Use your imagination. You know what I'm saying? I've had that, man. You should have switched it up
and put like a Morgan Freeman, like right when she's about to nut, Morgan Freeman in there, dude.
I know that would be fun. That would be cool.
Yeah, she said, I'm about to come, more Eddie. You just slap her with one of those Shawshank Redemption shit.
That's after he finishes.
Yeah, after I finish, right. Yeah, man, but you know, comedy, man, comedy's been good to me, man. I can't even complain. It's like I've had an opportunity to travel around the world. I've opened for some of the biggest artists ever. You know, I've opened for, like, you know, Whitney Houston and, like I said, Jerry Seinfeld, Sinbad, Natalie Cole. I mean, I've worked with some great. I tell you, Robin Harris. I know you guys.
That's my idol. That's my funny guy. That's who.
And I saw something on TV about Robin Harris. They were talking about his life and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, when I first came to L.A., I was at the Comedy Act Theater. This is in South Central. I don't know. Not many of you probably travel.
No, we don't go that way. Yeah, our visa don't travel to South Central. Yeah.
So I went down to Comedy Act, and it was hard to get on stage. And the agent I had at the time, you know, introduced me to Robin. Robin got me on stage. He's like, "I'm gonna get you on stage, Rich. I'm gonna get you on. He got me on. I had a okay set, and then that was a Saturday night. That Sunday night, he passed away.
What?
Yeah. That Sunday morning, they called me up. They were like, "Yo, man, Robin died, like, in Chicago. He flew from L.A. after he did the show that he got me on, and he passed away that Sunday." And it was crazy.
And that was one of my biggest regrets, that I never got a chance to meet him.
Oh, he was, you know what? He's another guy a lot like Tucker, where he's just not even funny offstage. Like, quiet, nice, and always worried about the crowd. Always worried that, you know, he's like, "You know, I don't know if that's not funny enough. I don't know. Can I work on that? It's not funny. It's not funny. I should try it again. And I think that's what made him so great, because he was so obsessed with being funny. He was so obsessed with getting that crowd. You know what I mean? Right, even though he was already successful. Like, he had already done House Party. He had already done like a whole bunch of stuff.
He had baby kids at the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing about us comics, is that we want to be a pleaser, which makes me a good person to fuck.
Which is
right. I'm a giver.
I'm a giver. You know,
I'm getting
saying?
Mine regardless.
I'm a giver. You know, after I fucking finish, I'm like, "Was it good? Did you like it? Would you like me to do it again? How good? Really? Could I have done this better? Should I slow it down?" Yeah. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. I did tape it, so I will be watching it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the tape. Yeah, I could have moved a little bit better there, but yeah. So, but it's crazy, man. Doing comedy and working with some really great people has made me a better, like, man and a better comedian. Because being a comic, you have to be able to listen to people and have them give you advice and not be offended by it. Like I said, I told you, Seinfeld gave me advice, and, you know, Damon Wayans actually, well, his agent probably gave me more advice. It was crazy. I did a show with Damon, and I went out before him, and I was swearing like a sailor. I was just swearing.
So you're like Darius.
And his agent, yeah, like Darius. And his agent comes to me and is like,
"Yeah, you know, Rich, maybe you shouldn't swear as much, because it sets the tone for the show, and maybe you shouldn't do some, you know, the swearing is not a good idea." So I'm like, "All right, well, I won't do any swearing next time."
Next night, Damon Wayne gets up and does a fucking Richard Pryor set that Richard Pryor would be offended.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, we don't want Richard to do it, because we want Damon Wayne to be able to do it.
Did
you find, I know we got a few more minutes, which I'm sorry, right, keep you a little bit over. Mm-hmm. Did you find, because you've been on the road a lot, did you find that they always, because you headline, I mean, these guys, the headliners, did they always ask you to tone it down at all? Do you have that a lot?
Not really. But you have to know your audience.
Yes.
And it's like, if you go up on stage and there's a bunch of old, like we were at the show that we did over in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
With Rico, there was like a lot of older people. Like,
correct.
Old people, like Golden Girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that last show.
It's like, yeah, if you're going up on stage.
Wait, hold up. Let's speak the tone, because we had the Golden Girls, but then remember we had the little girl sitting in the audience
right,
9-year-old.
Not the show that we did.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about the one you did before? Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right.
This past Wednesday. It was a lot of
that one. There. Oh, I saw the flyer, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was a lot of older people. You have to adapt your material for the audience. That's
true.
The bottom line. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be a successful comic. So if I go up on stage and I'm doing an impression of DMX, and there's 65-year-old women in the fucking crowd, man, they got like fucking Cypress Beatles up in here. Man, these flies are like brontosauruses. They're cute, man.
Sorry, I
have to
let the door.
But,
in the house,
yeah, so comics, usually people who run shows, they want your material to adapt to the audience.
Correct.
And if it does that, they're not going to book you again. You
know, which is true.
Bottom line, you got to adapt your material to the audience.
And you got to listen, because while you're out there, you got to see the adjustments.
Yeah, you got to listen. You got to listen. You got to listen to the crowd. You know, there's a couple of jokes, you know, if I throw this joke out and they don't laugh, okay, I got to go back to the drawing board and maybe do something a little bit different so I can catch this crowd. So you have to do that.
I mean, that's good though. But like you said, you've been here for since 87, and you had a lot of fun and success. Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets.
So you've
no
been
regrets.
Doing it straight since then? Like, you've been in the entertainment industry straight since 87?
Yeah, straight since 87. I've been doing it. So I've been booed. I've been heckled. I don't get heckled as much anymore, maybe because I'm a big guy.
I was
going to
say, because you're fucking huge.
I don't get heckled as much, but I have gotten booed. I got one story. You want to hear this story? This is a good story.
Yeah, no, go on. Your time. We're on your time.
This is cool.
Yeah, as long as you're enjoying it, we keep going.
This is a funny story. So I had just started doing comedy, started doing voices. I was feeling hype. I was in the newspaper in my town. They did a 2-page spread on me, right? So this promoter's like, yo, I want to get you on stage. I want you to open up for like this big rap concert we got going on. So
rap
like,
concert?
Yeah, it's a rap concert. So it was Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince, Eric B. and Rakim, Biz Markie, a couple of other cats.
Yeah.
So they didn't send a car for me. I actually had to go there myself.
Caught a bus?
I just drove my car.
At that time, I was able to drive.
If I was smart, I would have asked for a car or something. Yeah. But I was young comedy, you know. So I get there to do a show. So I'm hanging out. I'm meeting all these rappers that I just love and everything. So I was supposed to be like the MC, kind of like introduce people. So I'm introducing people. Things are going well. Everything's cool. Now I got to bring Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince up. Now, Jeff had gotten to a car accident, so his leg, he had a cast on his leg, and they didn't want anyone to see him, you know, crawl out to the stage. So they were like, we're going to turn the lights down, and then we're going to bring them out. So I want you to go out there and say, ladies and gentlemen, Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, and the lights will go down, music will come on, and then Jazzy Jeff and Will be on stage. So I'm like, all right. So I get out there. Yo, what's up? ladies and gentlemen, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Nothing happens. No music, no nothing. 18,000 people in the audience. I go backstage. They're like, and now Will's there. He's like, yeah, we're ready now. We're ready. So Jeff's like, yeah, we're ready. So, yeah, the promoter's like, go back out. So I go back out. Ladies and gentlemen, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Again, nothing. 18,000 kids. Okay, it's like the Staples Center almost.
Yeah, full. Yeah.
So I go back. The guy goes, yo, I need you to go out there and tell some jokes.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like, what? Yeah, you heard me. Go out there and tell some jokes, man. Do something. I didn't have no jokes. All I could do was impressions. And I'm young. I'm a young comic. So I go out there and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you, Public Enemy's the bomb. Here's Chuck D. I'm doing these impressions. Everybody is booing me in the fucking Coliseum.
18,000
people. They're throwing bottles at me.
Oh.
They're throwing money at me.
There we go.
They're just throwing everything at me. I'm doing whatever I can to survive. Okay? Yeah. So eventually the promoter to the side comes, yeah, come here. So I go back and it's like, and Will is like laughing. He's like, man, this is fucked up. I'm so sorry. So now they're like, we're ready. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, lights come on, music plays, they perform. So at the end of the show, I got paid or whatever. Again, I didn't have a car, so I had to go through the crowd to get back to my fucking car. You need to go to fucking welding school, man. you need to go to beautician some shit. You're a fucking whack, dude. You're whack. Every once in a while, you hear someone, you're kind of funny. No, fuck that. He's whack. He's whack. And after that, I got back to my house. I said, good, huh? Fuck comedy. Yeah. I'm out.
Did you ever find out what happened? Was it technical issues? Or was it like Will and Jazzy Jeff like fucking with you?
No, it was Will fucking with the light. But
part of the business.
But it humbled me.
Yes.
It humbled me.
18,000 people bullying you. 18,000 people.
But then after that, I got a television show, and then the Living Color thing happened. So I didn't give up. You know what I mean? And it was just like, but it was so demoralizing because it's like, if this is what comedy is all about, I just can't fucking handle this. But once you go through 18,000 people booing you, you can go through anything.
Yeah, like what's nothing compared to that?
Oh, yeah. 300, yeah. So now, you know, if something's not working, it's all good. It's cool. It's not working. I just move on to the next joke. Yeah. But you need that kind of stuff. So young comics that come up now, man, I get mad at them because it's like they want everything so fast because YouTube and all that.
Yeah.
And it's like they want everything so fucking fast. It's like when I came up, we didn't have the YouTube. We didn't have we didn't have the fucking internet.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't have
true.
Any of that. So it's like you had to be fucking funny. You had to have your shit tight.
But that weeded out a lot of shit, though, exactly. too, at that time.
And but then that comedy explosion happened in the 80s when it's like Def Jam.
You mean the 90s, like right in the beginning?
The late 80s, early 90s, when everybody had a fucking comedy show. And then you saw the true comics when that explosion kind of ended. You got to see the true comics who are really comics are still at it. The ones who just wanted the pussy and the chicks got out the game. They got out the game. So, you know, my comment, if there's anybody out there listening, they're a stand-up comedian, pay your dues, get your booze, and you'll get paid. You just got to stick with it, man. Pay your dues and get your booze. That's just the bottom line. That's going to happen.
Shit, I paid my dues. So, ain't got my booze.
Got to get your booze, man.
Shit.
Got to get your booze.
I'm missing ass and... yeah, that's the two things.
Money.
Yeah, ass and
see,
money.
See, what I like about you, Darius, is you go up on stage. Like, I'm a master preparer. I like to prepare. But you go up on stage and you just
with my balls out.
Yeah. And it's like, I respect that because it's like most comics won't do that. And it takes a special comic to go.
But see,
up
I'm going
to
tell you one thing. I prepare to not prepare.
Yeah, you know, he prepares and throws everything at the window. As soon as
I don't know why I do that. It's like it's because my I'm a sociopath in the sense of it.
So you're
I have to be structured in this. And then when I get there, that's my split personality is like, you know, Chris Tucker is more shy. I'm more, I got to prepare. This has to be this way. This has to be this way.
Right.
And as soon as I get there, when that next person click in, fuck this shit. Nigga, we don't need this no more. Motherfucker, what the fuck you doing?
Right.
That's me. Which is right. But you and I. I've done a lot of shows and it's saying I have to go through the same, like Randall's guys ask me all the time, I have to go through the same pattern, I have to change, I have to do certain things with all this, and then you're right, I get up there and I'm like, fuck it, let's wing it.
But then the other part of being a comedian is that you it's show business, so then there's a business, there's a show, and my thing is I like to go on stage and I like to look good. I always make sure I look good for the audience, because if you look like a fuck, and this is just me, not all comics are like this. But I like to bring that, yo, I wear some French cuffs, wear that jacket.
He always looks very presentable every time we work together.
The audience looks at you and goes, they want to fucking like you because they think that you prepared for the show and you look like a fucking professional.
So why Richard's the professional?
Were you always like that or did you learn that? Oh,
I kind of both. Okay. I learned that when I didn't do it, it's just
you notice it was a little different.
Right. Gotcha. But when I brought the heat and I dressed like I fucking cared, the audience was like, yo, They're more receptive.
It's kind of like the Deion Sanders. Look good, play good.
Exactly.
Be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's like with the physiological professions. You got to dress the part.
You got to dress the part.
But in his sense, though, Richard always, you know, you like your stool, like certain shit the same way. Like his green M&Ms and his ring.
Of course. Got to have my green M&Ms.
Yeah, no, just fuck
it. But when you're sitting there and you're comfortable and the audience likes looking at you and the audience is like, yo, this guy looks good. He prepared.
Is that why you work out so much? Oh, you can stop, dude. Like, you can stop, man. Make it look bad.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you two were laughing about? Looking at his split.
He's got a six-pack.
Yeah, that's me, man. Yeah. But you know, my thing is like this, man. It's like, you know, it's a business. So it's like there are a lot of good singers out there, but they're not a lot of hot singers, right? So it's like Madonna's not the best fucking singer. As a matter of fact, she's a fucking mediocre singer at best. But she's got that package. So my thing is you got to have a package. There's a lot of people out there that I'm not the funniest fucking comic in the planet, but fuck it, I got the best body in comedy.
I'm going to tell you right now, I can't compare.
You know? So I may
have. I trying to sling dick the whole time.
What's gay is I started thinking about comics. Like, yeah. I think he's right.
Hey, because I'm like, I used to coach gymnasts and I don't look that damn good. Fuck it. He's all right. You got it.
I think Ralphie may edges you a little bit.
I was thinking that too. Ralphie might get him.
So it's like, you know, my thing is I want to have like a little bit of a hook. If it's a hook for like, yo, the ladies like me or whatever, and the guys are like, yo, man, I'll work out, prepare and everything. I want to work out. I mean, that's cool. Like, gives me a little bit of an edge. I learned that very early on in comedy.
Well, so you're healthy too.
And being healthy, yeah. But a comic told me, he's like, you got to have something, even as an actor.
Different.
You got to have something. This comic came to my school. I mean, not comic, but this actor came to my school, my drama class. And he was like, I always wear mismatched shoes. I'm like, why? He's like, because when I go to an audition, that'll stand out in their minds. Uh-huh. They'd be like, yo, that guy that had the mismatched shoes, I remember him. That guy was fucking funny.
Yeah, they don't remember your name, but they're like, the guy with the mismatched shoes.
So that's always stuck in my mind. So it's like, my mismatch is as a comic to not look like a comic, like the everyday comic. to really go on stage, be in shape, look good, you know, smell good, you know, have the whole package going. That way, you know, gives you an edge. And that's worked for me, man. It's really worked for me.
That's good. You got to find your niche, man.
You've always been in shape and healthy even from the beginning? It wasn't like I got
to
get in shape?
Oh, when I first came to California. Oh, wow. Because I saw all these beautiful fucking people.
Yeah, you're like, you have to fit in.
And I was spent. I was spent.
I bet you were.
I mean, yeah. Because
when I got down here, they were a lot of fatter. Yeah.
And I was like, when you see the magazines, though, it was different.
It's different. Them, being in Connecticut and then being out here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking eye opener. You
know every I mean? One of them look good. Yeah. Everybody she got a 4-pack, but damn, I love her.
Yeah, just a comic that she was on Wednesday night. It was fucking funny. She was like, just because you're a fucking 10 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're going to be a fucking 2 in L.A.
Yes, you are.
You know, that's just flat out.
Well, that's so, you know, that scale, too. Like, you're a 10 here, but yeah, you're 5
when you come to L.A. Yeah, when you come to L.A., because there's just a lot of beautiful people out here. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I got to step up my game and just bring the heat, man. So,
well, that's good, man. I'm proud of you, man. Yeah, man. I love working with you, man. I work with you quite a bit. So. Man,
I thank you for having me come down.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
I love working with you, man. You're a funny guy.
Sometimes.
I love your shit.
Yeah. Ray's funnier. Ray's funnier.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just, I'm the flavor of comedy. Yeah! No, he said, anyway, I'm the hype man. I get out there. I'm the fuck. What up, nigga? Let's go.
There you go.
It's good, man. Like I said, man, I really appreciate you coming to the studio. One more time, how we find you, man?
Yeah, richosborn.com, richosborn.com. iTunes me, same name. I'm on there. I'll be at the Improv in Ontario, May 10th, 2 p.m., clean comedy. Just look for it, brother. I'll be out there.
No, okay. One more thing before we finish
up. I'm on Facebook too. RichardDialOsborne.com.
Yeah, look for the 6-pack.
Yeah, look for the 7.
I got this 6-pack picture up there.
Now, but you exercise a lot. Do you do any charity runs or anything like that?
Do any charity runs. Okay. However, I do like the Race for the Cure every once in a while. Lost someone when I first came to LA. I lost someone to breast cancer. One of the first. I know this is like a sad story, but also like a good story because, like, you know, she was the first person I fucked when I came to L.A.
Okay.
And then I found out.
Well, congratulations on her passing.
And then I found out she died. I was scared. I was like, man, did I have something to do with that?
Is she AIDS?
Did I literally fuck her to death?
Yeah.
You know? I was like, damn. So I found out, actually, all seriousness, I found out that she had a mastectomy. Ooh. And she thought that they got it, but eventually, I guess it went through the rest of her body. So to answer your question, I do that run.
Okay.
Once a year, I do it's like a 5K. I'll go out and do that in support of her.
Nice.
Yeah, man, that's the only thing I do out there.
Yeah, we like that. Them nuts like to give back.
Show down.
That's because you always want to give back. We always want people in there to give back. And you did the military tour quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you always want to make sure we at least let people know.
You had to get your research in, huh? I did
this
research. We could have edited it. We could have hit on a fucking high note, but you had to bring up that fucking research question, huh?
Let me make sure I use it right here.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Right. It's always an ongoing thing. One of us researches, and it's not the white guy.
It's all good. It's all good.
One of us.
I research porn.
That's all you need to research is porn.
Yeah, that's it. We're not even going to go that route. We're going to leave porn alone.
All day. Matter of fact, I'm waiting on, there's some porn waiting for me all the time, man. I'm fucking with you guys, man. There's some good porn, man.
I downloaded 2 while we were here.
Oh, man, see? This is my guy right here. Yeah.
They got DVDs already said. Or what? No, what is it now? DVRs. I told you, I'm so far behind time. I still probably had a 2-foot.
Yeah.
I probably still
have VHS,
man. Yeah. We
got that
tapes.
Combo player.
Yeah.
Combo player, reel to reel, where you put the tape in, man.
I'm a little old school, man. Don't worry about that,
Aaron,
man.
Bust out the laser disc.
Look at some of that 8-track porn, man. Yeah, lay some of that 8-track porn. Fuck y'all. All right, this is Darius, man, with them nuts. We got the whole cast in the house tonight. Yo, we're going to sign out, man. We got Richard Darryl Osborne in the house. From Them Nuts, man, find us everywhere, man. We're out. I'm out. Fuck y'all.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com because we have got more to come.